Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
Habakkuk, it's towards the end of your Old Testament. We are getting closer to the end of the Minor Prophets. But there are 12 books at the end of your Old Testament. The last 12 books are called the Minor Prophets. They're not considered minor because of their influences. More has to do with just the content of the book. Jeremiah and Isaiah are major prophets because their books are 40, 50, 60 chapters long. These books range from either one chapter to seven. I think maybe Zechariah is maybe 14 or something like that. But for the most part, they are on the smaller side. But all the minor prophets are in this time period towards the end of Old Testament times, which would be from 800 B.C. up to probably 500 B.C., okay, before Christ. And then you have this window of like 400 years before Christ that there's just kind of total silence as far as Scripture. And then you have Christ coming on the scene, and then you have the Gospels and the letters of Paul. All right, so some of the key dates we've been talking about in this series. What happens in 722 B.C.? I heard it. Somebody was going to say it. What happens in 722 B.C.? Assyria does what? They come down and they take the northern kingdom of Israel. Israel is in two sections at that point. They're a divided kingdom. Okay, after Solomon is king, they divide. Okay, and so the northern part is called Israel. The southern two tribes are called Judah. And so as you read through Kings and Chronicles, you'll see Judah and you'll see Israel. Well, Judah's referring to the south. Israel's referring to the north. 720, Israel was more wicked than Judah. And so God, they get judgment 200 years earlier, okay, because of their wickedness. And so in 722, Assyria has become the great power in that area. They come down and they bring devastation upon northern Israel. And they come up to Jerusalem. But God rescues them and saves them, even by sending an angel and killing hundreds of thousands in one night. This death angel killed and preserved Jerusalem. And then in 586, we have the other dominant power. Babylon now becomes the dominant power, and they will then come into Israel, conquer Jerusalem, take people back with them to Babylon, and that's where you have Daniel, Ezekiel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're all taken back to Babylon, 70 years of captivity before they come back, all right? So that's just a little bit. So we've talked about Hosea, we've talked about Joel, we've talked about all these people. And so now we are in Habakkuk. Habakkuk falls in this time period of right about at 605, just prior to the Babylon invasion. It's going to happen in 586, about 605. And what we find out is that Babylon is just, Assyria was a great power, but now Babylon gained strength, and now they are going to defeat Assyria, get out of bondage from Assyria. They're going to conquer Assyria, and then they're going to come down and take out Israel. And so what God shares with Habakkuk is that judgment is coming. But I want us to look at this. God shares with him that he's going to send in the Babylonians. And so we're going to look at, he has two complaints and then a conclusion, and then we will end. But he begins with verse 2 of chapter 1. How long, O Lord, must I call for help and you do not listen? Just think of these Christians that we just looked at. Our cry to you, violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? And why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict. It abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that the just, so justice is perverted. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray you take it and apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Amen. Habakkuk's first complaint is, God, why don't you answer my prayers? All right? And that's in your program. There's some of those, you can fill those in. Why are you not answering my prayers? There's violence. There's injustice all around me. And I cry to you, but it seems, God, you're not listening. You're not answering my prayer. And if you walk with God any length of time, there are going to be times in your life where you're going to cry out to God and say, God, I don't like the situation I'm in. And you want things to change, and it seems like the heavens are brass. They bounce off the ceiling. And God doesn't seem to be hearing your prayer. You ever had that? It's just real life. It's real Christianity. But God doesn't leave Habakkuk hanging. He gives him an answer. And I want us to look at that. That's in verses 5 through 11. God replies. He says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that would not be believed, even if I told you. I'm raising up the Babylonians. They are kind and generous people. It doesn't say that in your Bible? Oh, it does. Huh? They are ruthless people who sweep across the whole earth. They seize dwelling places not their own. They are feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Think about ISIS. Doesn't that describe them right now? Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They're like a vulture swooping in to devour. They come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. They sweep past like the wind and go on. Guilty men whose own strength is their God. They're a law to themselves. And that was God's answer to Habakkuk. God was going to restore justice and order in Israel by bringing in the evil and vile Babylonians. Can God do that? The answer is yes. But Habakkuk's saying that, God, that's not right. You can't use somebody more evil than us to bring justice in our land, but that is exactly what God was going to do. Interesting. The principle you can pull away from this is that God brings justice in mysterious ways. God was going to cure Israel of its violence, of its evil, of its wayward heart through Babylon captivity and through the cruelty of the Babylonians. And it doesn't seem to make sense, but God was going to bring about something pure and something holy within the people of Israel through the Babylonians. And so God is able to correct evil with evil. And sometimes when we look at our world, we expect God to always have that answer for us, that miracle. And God does answer that. He does answer prayers. He does do miracles. But there's times that he works in our world in ways that doesn't make sense, such as ISIS. They're evil and they're advancing. And that doesn't seem to make sense. And God, why do you allow that to happen? But I think we need to understand that God's ways are higher than our ways. And he's bringing about his purpose and his plan that we don't quite understand and see yet. But I believe that even over there, he's perfecting a people through these difficult times. Habakkuk isn't done. He has a second complaint. That's found in verse 12. He says, O Lord, are you not everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. So he's coming around. He's saying, okay, God, you've appointed these people. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish us. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? In other words, why do you tolerate the Babylonians? Why are you silent while wicked is swallowed up by those more righteous than themselves? God, how come you are using the vile Babylonians to bring judgment on us? We're not perfect, but we're not as bad as them. You've made them like fish in the sea, like sea creatures that have no ruler. The wicked foe pulls them all up with their hooks. He catches them in his tent. He gathers them up in his dragnet so that he rejoices and is glad. Therefore, he sacrifices and burns incense to his dragnet. In other words, they don't have a God. And the second complaint is, God, why don't you punish the wicked? Good question. That's come up a few times in the Minor Prophets, right? There's wickedness, and it abounded in Israel, and saying, God, why do you let evil continue? Aren't you a holy God? And the answer is, yes, he's a holy God, but as we covered last week, is that there's an appointed time. God has his timing. And he does allow some evil to exist until it is the right time to bring judgment. What we'll know is that Babylon would have their day of judgment as well. Their day was coming. But for the time being, God was using them to perfect righteousness in the people of Israel. So God wasn't looking the other way. He just said it's not time yet. And the gold nugget that God has for Habakkuk is found in chapter 2. The Lord replies, verse 2 of chapter 2, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. Okay? They didn't have email back then, cell phones, even the U.S. Postal Service. They had messengers, right? Verse 3, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks to the end and will not prove false. Though linger and wait, for it will certainly come and will not delay. Verse 4, see, he is puffed up, referring to Babylon. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by what? By faith. The righteous will live by faith. God says, you know what? The Babylonians are coming in. But as during good times, it doesn't change that the righteous are going to live by faith. And in other words, that those that have their hearts set on God, I am going to carry them through even this difficult time where the Babylonians are going to come in. The righteous live by faith. The problem tends to be that during good times, what do? Do we live by faith? Sometimes. But it's easy to live off and depend on what? Just the goodness, right? Yeah, things are going good. We got the paycheck coming in. Kids are doing well in school. So we don't need to pray in the morning. We can kind of coast and we kind of skip. We cut corners there. And all of a sudden, boom, it catches up with us, right? The difficulty comes and we're caught. And very rarely do we ever grow in faith during the easy times, during the good times. It's usually in the difficult times that we tend to grow. Faith is a muscle, isn't it, right? And good athletic programs have a good weight program, right? And when you lift weights, you're putting your muscles through rigor and pain and agony, right? Why? Because they're not going to get any stronger sitting on the couch, right? Playing PS4, right? Or watching TV, all right? They're not going to get any stronger, Barb, are they? But they only get stronger if you use those muscles, right? We have to. And so God allows us to go through those times. And God's message to Habakkuk is, you know what? The righteous, as always, I'm not going to forget about my righteous, the people that serve me with all their heart. I will carry them through this time. The Israelites would come out of their Babylonian activity. They would be changed people. They would deal with idolatry and violence and injustice going into captivity. But coming out, they would come back a changed people. They would no longer deal with idolatry anymore. They're not perfect people. And a lot of them are still seeking to know who Christ is. But they were changed. Their captivity changed them. because they were forced. Everything that was important to them was stripped away. Their possessions, their temple, a lot of their relationships, all those things were stripped away in their captivity. And all they had to depend on was God. And so their faith grew and became rich through the difficulty. Habakkuk comes to a conclusion. He doesn't like what God is telling him. I mean, he's fearful. He's heard the reports of how the Babylonians have destroyed other communities and other nations. I think he's even trembling in his shoes. He's a godly man, but yet he's dealing with this revelation that God has shared with him. But this is what he comes to the conclusion, chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Lord, I've heard of your fame, and I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." That's good. And he goes on to a few more details there, but Habakkuk is surrendering to God's plan. And he said, "God, in your wrath, in your judgment, remember mercy towards those who love you and who fear you." And then his final three verses of chapter 3, which are just kind of gold nuggets. This is what Habakkuk says. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there's no grapes on the vine, though there's no olive crop, and the fields produce no more." So there's no sustenance, probably because it's been destroyed. "There's no sheep in the pen, no cattle in the stalls. Things are bad. Verse 18, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to go on the heights." And when Habakkuk says, you know what? Even if all this happens, he says, you know why? That doesn't change my relationship with God. It doesn't change my joy, my contentment. I'm still going to rejoice in my God. And that he allows me to rise above some of the cares of this world. And like a deer, you know, a deer is a... I've hunted whitetails since I was young. But they always have a way of, when they escape, they always have a way of getting over the hill. All right? They know where to go, and they get over the hill, and they're gone. All right? They escape. They have quickness. They're able to climb up a steep hill. They're gone. And God is saying, you know what? For his people, he gives us the ability to rise above the circumstances that may be there. For these Christians in Iraq, you know what? God... It doesn't seem very good picture for them, does it? But you know what? God is faithful. And Christianity looks different over there than it does here, doesn't it? Yeah. It does. But I believe they love God. They're kind of part of a Catholic, Orthodox Christianity. So a lot more of ritual and tradition. But I believe they love God. But I believe God is going to enable them to rise above and to deal with this. And God's even, there's even Marines and people from the military that have been honorably discharged, and they're going back and they're helping train these Christians on their own time. The U.S. says, "Hey, we don't want you to do this." They said, "Well, we're doing it." And they're going over there and they're training these Christian men how to fight and protect themselves. So it's kind of an interesting story that was just... at the conclusion of this video. The main principle is our hope and our joy comes from God. And that's why Habakkuk could say, you know what? There's no figs, no more fig Newtons, right? All right. There's no grapes, so we don't have any grape juice. That was just one of their commodities back then, wine and grape juice. No ribeyes, all right? No lamb chops, no wool for clothing. still I will rejoice in my God. Because the righteous are going to live by faith, and He is our source of hope and joy. I'm going to have the musicians come this morning. And as we close, we're making just a couple adjustments here. The way we've been doing it, it's sometimes kind of hard to hear prayer requests. So we're going to make an adjustment, see how that works. But we'll have a closing song. At the end of the closing song, we're going to invite Victor and Yolanda and Gil and Emily to come forward. And there'll be some soft music, and they'll, if you have a need or request, we encourage you to seek them out and for prayer. Would you stand this morning? Lord, I just pray you would just be present here this morning. Habakkuk was wanting an encouraging word from God and saying that God was going to hold off the Babylonians. He's going to protect them from the Babylonians. So the word he got was that the Babylonians were going to come in and destroy his homeland, all that was precious and sacred to him. And like any of us, we would wrestle with God, say, God, it's not fair. It can't happen. Don't you hear my prayers? God's message was, I'm going to carry you and those that are righteous. I'll carry them through this time as they walk by faith. As they walk by faith. And Lord, whether we're Christians in Iraq or living it out here in Nebraska, there's times in life where we're going to say, God, I don't like what is happening in my life. Don't you hear my prayers? Why has the sickness come? Or why has the financial times come as they are? Or why aren't these relationship problems just happening? Why are they happening? It's not fair. But God, the message is still the same, that those that walk by faith, the righteous will walk by faith. God will go before you. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father, this morning, Father, you know the things that we need to surrender to you, and too often we depend upon other things instead of just depending upon you, Lord. And I just pray you deepen our faith with you to learn the joy and the contentment that Habakkuk had as he surrendered in his life, his plans to you, Lord God, that you gave him a strength, a source of joy that was not of his own, it was from you. And Lord, you can do that for each one here today, Father, that we can surrender all of our stuff to you, to know your peace, to know your joy, to know your happiness, God. We ask this in your precious and holy name. I pray you go with us this week. We're going to close this in that song and then come forward.